Though his name was Amal Purakayastha, those within his orbit knew him as the Bangladeshi. Here at the St. Anne Hospital Center, he was a John Doe, a man who was discovered wandering the streets of Paris, sermonizing the words of dark prophets, that of lunatic voices in his mind. After a battery of psychological exams, it was determined that the man was suffering tremendously from the nonstop auditory hallucinations of schizophrenia. Within a month of his custody, an unknown contributor paid the Institute monthly tithings in large sums to see that the Bangladeshi received the best possible care, clean garments, clean sheets, and the finest doctors. Week after week and month after month, despite the upgraded amenities and care, the voices inside the Bangladeshi's head drove and compelled him to respond to the commands of their vices. They would tell him to hurt, maim, or injure those who had conspired against him, usually against the innocent who wore similar institutional dress. Eventually, his violent clashes against others earned him a permanent stay in solitary confinement, which was a darkened cell that was spartanly furnished with a cot and a small table. As the days and nights wove together, they became one and the same to him. The voices inside the Bangladeshi's head remained relentless. Sometimes they were soft-spoken, nothing but nonsensical whispers he could barely understand. Other times they were deep, robust, and full of anger, the voices teaming up to compel the Bangladeshi to renounce passivity, because violence was the only means to achieving absolute power. On this day, as he sat on his cot with his hands cupped tightly over his ears, the voices were unremitting. They sounded as though they were forming from all points of his mind and from an eternity of inner space, all pushing him to react to their constant insistencies.
"Get out of my head!"
Because the Bangladeshi's cries mingled with the tormented shouts of others, the interns could not distinguish one cry from another.
"I said, get out!"
The whispers and the shouting, voice on top of voice on top of other voices, all driving him deeper into insanity.
"Please!"
Then the Bangladeshi's eyes started to well with tears.
"I beg you, no more!"
The voices continued to sound off, all without mercy. And then the Bangladeshi surrendered himself, with his face falling with the looseness of a rubber mask. It was the unmistakable look of a man who was finally defeated.
"Yes," he stated flatly, "I understand."
Sitting up and tossing his legs over the edge of the cot, the Bangladeshi sat as still as a sculptured statue. And he would sit idle for hours, waiting for the door to his cell to open. The voices, now silent, allowed the Bangladeshi his moments of peace before the storm. It was noon when the Bangladeshi finally heard the intern slide the bolt back to unlock the door to his cell. As the steel door opened, dim light filtered into the Bangladeshi's room. Narrowing his eyes slightly from the light's sting, he noted three interns. There were always three interns, as he was getting to his feet. He was tall and rail-thin, which gave him a gaunt and haunting appearance in the faded light.
"All right," stated the intern in French. "1 hour of yard exercise. Let's go."
Then he beckoned to the Bangladeshi to exit the cell.
"Let's go. You've already used up a minute of your time by standing there."
The Bangladeshi stayed put within the quasi-shadows. Then, a moment later, and in flawless French, he said without emotion,
"I would like to go to the rooftop."
The lead intern looked at him quizzically.
"Let's go. Stop wasting my time." "I would like to go to the rooftop. I must go to the rooftop."